In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. This episode is directed in love and kindness to those who missed church yesterday and many other Sundays. And I want to start by saying you don't know what you are missing out on, or you don't know what you missed out on. Let me share a number of the blessings you forfeit whenever you miss church, for whatever reason. I'm going to read Psalm 84. That's going to be a passage. How amiable or how adorable are thy tabernacles, O Lord the hosts. And tabernacles, you know, that was the place where they would go and offer their sacrifices and their prayers, right? So today, our tabernacles are our churches and the altars. My soul longs you, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh give praise for the living God. Yes, even the sparrow has found a house and the pigeon a nest for herself, where they have raised their young beside thine altars, O Lord, of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall praise thee forever. Blessed is the man whose help is from thee, in whom heart are thy ways. They have passed through the valley of weeping and have made it a dwelling place. The lawgivers shall cover it with blessings. They shall go from strength to strength. The God of gods shall be seen in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look up the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts, listen to this, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I would choose rather to dwell in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is our supply and our helper. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee. All about being in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the Lord, in the altar of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. So, as I said, what I'd like to touch up on and concentrate on is, or the message I'd like to give is, what you miss out, what we miss out when we miss church for 1 week, for 2 weeks, for a month, 2 months, 2 months since last Christmas, or the last special occasion, a baptism, wedding, be it a funeral, that we haven't attended church. This is what we miss out on, beloved. Number one, the ambience. The blessedness of the house of the Lord. When you enter the house of the Lord, why is it that when we are talking and we're engaged in conversations and what have you, in humor, and as soon as we enter the house of the Lord, for those who respect and honor and revere the presence of the Lord, we are quiet, we are silenced, we enter the house of the Lord and we focus on the front, which is the altar, or the cross that is in the altar. We miss out on that when we forfeit that ambience. And our souls will be longing for that ambience. We miss out on the protection of being in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, being protected, beloved. Yes, you know, people will say, what do you mean, being protected from natural disasters, from wars? Yes, possibly, but not so much. Being protected from the flaming arrows of Satan, the enemy, and his demons that are shooting against us. Yes, you will say, you know, even at church, sometimes when I sit there and I'm trying to concentrate, Rabbi, but my mind goes away, my mind wanders, and sometimes even evil things come to my mind. Do you know why? Let me tell you why, beloved. Just imagine, and this is a life experience. I was at home one afternoon in Australia, and I used to play soccer for the Assyrian Church youth group. I was right defense. I got a call, and one of my teammates said, we have a game against another team. It's such a place. Come. As soon as I got in the car, I dressed up, got in the car, went to the field. As soon as I got onto the field, I started kicking the ball. And then, you know, a minute after that, we started playing. And the first pass that was given to me was what we call a hospital pass. It wasn't a good pass. I had to stretch my leg, and I stretched my groin. Now, why? Because there was no warm-up. Just imagine you get on a field and you start running and putting everything you have into it. You're going to be sick because there's no warm-up. Your body is in shock. There needs to be a warm-up before we enter the house of the Lord. And what is that warming up? Is when you come to the early morning prayers, the early morning prayers, Slotot Sapra. It always begins an hour before the actual service of the celebration of the divine liturgy of Holy Qurbana. 1 hour. If it's at 10 a.m., it begins usually at 9 a.m. or 9:15. If Raza starts at 9 a.m., if the liturgy starts at 9, 8:15. And that is where you enter the house of the Lord and you sit in the ambience and the peace and the tranquility of the house of the Lord, and you start clearing the mind. You start talking to the Lord. You invoke the Holy Spirit to come into your mind, your heart, your soul, to clear everything away so that you are focused on the liturgy that you are going to enter into. Yes, some say, well, we don't understand the language. You don't need to understand the language. Even if you do understand the language, you still won't come. That's an excuse, and we've proven that to be invalid. How? California Central Valley residents? Oh, we don't understand the service. We don't understand their Aramaic language. It's gibberish. Well, it's not. It's the language Jesus spoke. Well, we serve the liturgy in the English language. The attendance is still unsatisfactory, more than unsatisfactory. So it's not the language barrier. It's not. It's the loving the world. Loving the world and what's in the world. Loving to be everywhere there is joy and celebration and jubilee and dancing and smoking and doing whatever you want to do, right? Drinking, being drunk and being, you know, disorderly. Immorality, we like to be in those presence rather than in the simple ambience blessings presence of our Lord in his house. My recommendation is, and I encourage you, yes, those who struggle during church, during the service with your minds wandering, no, this Sunday, this coming Sunday, yeah, next Sunday, go to church early. Go to church 10, 15 minutes early, half an hour early. Just sit there and pray and meditate on what you are doing, where you are, and what you are going to enter, in whose presence you're going to enter. You are depriving your soul of the joy and peace of being in the house of the presence of the Lord when we don't attend church, beloved. We miss out on praising and worshiping the Lord in the house at his presence. With your heart, with our hearts and minds and body. Yes, some will say, well, Jesus explains, Jesus commands, Jesus has told us that if we are to pray, we can go into our room and pray. Let me ask you a question. Those people that are homeless, and most of them believe in God, because when you approach them, they actually bless you. God bless you. When you speak to them, they know Jesus Christ. They know. So when one of those homeless people wants to pray, is he to go and find a room? A room? I need a room to pray because the Lord Jesus said that I can enter a room. There is no room. So what does then the Lord entail when he says that he who prays must enter his room, meaning enter your mind, your soul? And what other place than the church? Because there's not that many distractions. The next door neighbor's dog will not start barking. The next door neighbors will not start playing their Marucci music or what have you. The phone will not go off, although today people are so disrespectful. Even if we have the signs every now and then during the slides, please switch off your phone. They are so arrogant and disrespectful to God and to those around them, they still leave their phones on or they're on their phones. Well, that's not Facebook telling you, hey, come look at me. That's not your Instagram telling you, look at me. That's you wanting to engage yourself, right? But there should be no distractions in the house of the Lord. So come into the house of the Lord and then you enter your room. And you pray to the Lord in your heart and body. Why do I say body? Prostrations. Don't be reluctant. Don't be ashamed. Some of you have reached out and said, Rabbi, I want to kneel before the altar of the Lord during church. Some do. God bless you. But that's just that some people look at me. I don't know how people are going to perceive it. Don't worry about the people. You're not there for the people. You're not there. You're there for Christ and for your own salvation. You're there for your own forgiveness and cleansing. Kneel. Kneel before the Lord. Because in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, the Canaanite woman knelt before the Lord to receive healing for her daughter. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, the man knelt before the Lord, Brikle, and he knelt and begged for mercy for his son, and he received it. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, the leper knelt before Jesus Christ, and he received cleansing. Who do we kneel before when we're at the church? Not the priest, not the deacons, not the patriarch, not the bishops, not the people, not just the altar, the material in the altar. No, we kneel before the gospel of our Lord, which is the word of God, the divinity, the word of God, God incarnate, Jesus Christ himself. We kneel before the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which denotes his humanity. He was crucified on that cross. We kneel before the Holy Eucharist, the Qurbana Qadisha, which is the real presence of Jesus Christ in the bread and wine, which we receive from the chalice and the paten. Kneeling. According to verse 3, if the animals, the sparrow and the pigeons have found place to rest. You know, you see in many church buildings, you'll see that there are nests of birds, pigeons, sparrows. You know, I believe that when they've knitted their net or when they have built their nest there, they've understood in some way that this is the house where our Lord, our Creator, will be praised and he will dwell in it, in his spirit, in the Word, in the Eucharist. You see, we deprive ourselves from that rest as well. That is the rest of the body and the mind and the soul in the house of the Lord. We deprive from rest of the mind, body and soul from the hustle and the bustle of this world. The politics, the finances, the work issues, the family issues, relationship, health, disasters, immorality, cruelty, and the list will go on and on and on. One resting place is the house of the Lord, which is the church, Umrah. You see, how blessed is the Assyrian language? We have two words. Church in the English language will denote the building and also the body of Jesus Christ. But in the Assyrian language, we have Eta and we have Umrah. Umrah, dwelling place. We usually refer to the buildings as Umrah. We do say sometimes we go to Eta. Yeah, we are going to go to the Eta to celebrate and partake in the Eta of the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Umrah, which is the dwelling place. Never mind who's there, what's going on, not understanding the language. And I just refuted that. I'm sorry. Correct me if I'm wrong. I refuted that. Stephen, how many years have we had English Raza here? At least 13? Yeah, I could not be doing it justice. At least 13 years of English service, right? We get the same 30 to 40 attendants. And thank God they are not those who attend the morning mass, although some of the choir people do because they have to. We need a choir. Where are you, O beloved youth? It was for you. The church went out of her way, and rightly so, to reach out to you. Where are you at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? You know what? At 10 o'clock in the morning, you're sleeping. Yes, okay, fine. We understand. You don't understand. You don't understand the language and the liturgy. Where are you at 4 p.m. preparing to go out to your usual hangout places on a Sunday? Fishing, hunting, whatever it may be. So there's no excuse. So I should strike that not understanding, but giving it the benefit of the doubt. Never mind what's going on in church, the politics of the church, the problems of the church, the schisms of the church we have. Don't worry about that. If you're not a part of it, don't worry about it. If you're not a part of that problem, you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a part of that problem, be a part of fixing the problem. If not, don't worry about it. Don't deprive yourself from the house of the Lord. Many people say to me, we don't attend fellowship. And unfortunately, as much as I am, you know, disheartened to admit it, is that when we enter fellowship, we're supposed to share Christ with one another. But we're too busy about quickly being served food, and we argue, why isn't the food ready? Why? I need to take my tablets. And then as soon as we sit on the table and the conversation begins, it's either gossiping, it's either cussing, or it's either hatred. And you know what? We just don't want that fellowship. How sad is that? But God bless you. At least attend your church service. Come and worship. We're going to look at what else you're depriving yourself from. Don't deprive yourself from the blessed rest in the house of the Lord. The strength, verses 5 and 7. You are our prayer, our shield, the strength that we received in the house of the Lord. You're missing out on the strength to strength, being strengthened. You know, it's a pit stop. It's a pit stop. You're doing your laps 7 days a week. You're doing your laps. And on the first day of the week, that's that pit stop. Pit stop for new tires, right? The first thing they do is change their tires. Well, the tires are like the shoes in the parable of the prodigal son, which denote the grace of the Spirit and the prompting of the cultivation of holiness in us. We come there and we are prompted by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of the Holy Spirit. We are corrected, we are rebuked, and we are G'd on. We are encouraged to continue our life, our struggle, our toil. Continue soldiering on every day and trying to attain that holiness that we have been called to. We become refueled by the sweetness of the Holy Scriptures that are read from the Old Testament, from the law, from the prophets, from the Pauline epistles, from the Holy Gospel itself, which is the power of God to reinstate and return us to the pious living in Jesus Christ. For all those who have believed in Him and have been saved, to continue a life, a pious life. For those who have been saved and are trying and struggling to live the new life in Jesus Christ to attain eternal life. There is a reevaluation in this pit stop. Reevaluating the strategy and the tactics. How am I going to, you know, the 10 laps to go, what tactics am I going to use? Am I going to drop back a little bit? Am I going to go from the inside or go up the fence? No, we don't it's not actually a race, but we reevaluate our strategy in life, our tactics in life. We reevaluate where we are in life with Jesus Christ, because if there is no Jesus Christ, listen to me, please stop everything. Again, stop the vacuuming, stop the washing of the dishes, pull to one side if you have to, stop looking at the screen if you're listening to this episode on your computer. Stop for a second and listen. Without Jesus Christ, if Christ is not the center, the pinnacle of your life, you have no life, because Jesus is life. And at church, we reevaluate our situation, our place with Jesus Christ and His church. In faith in general, where do we stand in faith in general? In church, you reevaluate, because again, the distractions are minimal. Yes, I know again, and I pray that those who attend church, who listen to this episode, at least you leave your phone in the car. You don't need it with you. Oh, I'm running a business. You can't run a business. You can't love mammon and the Lord. Leave your business for an hour and a half. I assure you, you're not going to go broke. You won't have to declare bankruptcy. In actual fact, God will bless you immeasurably with things that you didn't even think of. You didn't imagine. In church, we evaluate, am I only a mere hearer of the word? And I'm quick to respond, amen, and shake my hand in agreeance, but I don't do that word? Have I conformed to the patterns of this world? Because the world says it's right, because Hollywood says it's right, because legislations say it's right, does that mean I say it's right? Where Christ is telling me and commanding me that no, that is not right in my eye. Where do I stand? Have I conformed to the patterns of this world? We're missing out on much needed correction and conviction at times, beloved. Conviction. We need that. We need to be corrected. We need to be admonished. And I've always confessed, and I will confess, and I think I speak on behalf of a lot of my brother priests, that when we are preaching, we too go through conviction and correction. If no one does, I assure you, I confess, I'm telling you, I am convicted at times, because we're human beings, we're fallen. We miss out on the heartburns. You know, heartburns are, I said, not to be good. You know, and I've had reflux for 50 years at least, right? But sometimes it's good for your heart to be burned during the exposition of the Holy Scriptures, when they are read and when they are expanded upon during the sermon. In Luke chapter 24, verse 23, the two disciples who were on their way, on their road to Emmaus, look at what they say. They said to one another, were our hearts not burning within us while He was speaking to us in the road, while He was explaining the Scriptures to us? That happens during the service. And again, you yourself have been an example and a witness to. When I receive messages on Messenger, text messages on Instagram, on Snapchat, on WhatsApp, on Viber, when you message me and say, Rabbi, your sermon today touched my heart. I was in tears. That is not my sermon. That is not my sermon. That is Jesus Christ speaking to you through the rusty tool that is in His hand, and He's using it. That is Jesus Christ speaking to you through the vessel, the unworthy vessel that He has chosen to speak to you through. We need that heartburn, and we receive that during services, during the church services, not only from reading the Scriptures, I'm sorry, even the hymns at times. سبب خطيلي بزمار ورمغ قبل خبيوخ. Because I have sinned, we sing, your beloved received the nails and the spear on my behalf. That burns the heart, beloved. That must crumble you and say, yes, Jesus died. Jesus received the crown of thorns, the spear and the nails. Jesus received them for my sake because of my sins. If there's no confession and if there's no conviction and if there's no admonishment, our hearts are now turned to stone. And we need to come back to Christ so that he can soften that heart. Finally, and yet not final, we miss out on the assembly of the body of Christ by which we are encouraged, beloved. We are encouraged to come together as Christians, not only in weddings, not only in parties, not only in conventions, not only at festivals, no, but at church as Christians, as Assyrian Christians. Yeah, we take pride in our Assyrianism. Yeah, I'm proud to be. You know, for those who say, oh, Kasha Jenner doesn't have an ounce of nationalism in his heart, define nationalism for me. Define it. Is it wrapping a flag around yourself and dancing at the pool? Is it wrapping a flag around yourself and just taking pictures of yourselves and dancing? I think that's refuting the flag. No. Is it holding the flag and using it as as the head of the dance, the handkerchief? No, the flag is our identity. I think nationalism is this: when you know that you are Assyrian, but you mostly know that you are a Christian Assyrian. And if you're out of the realm of Christianity, don't dare to call yourself Assyrian. Yes, I'm going to get all these negative messages now. Glory be to Christ our Lord. Glory be to his name. Come together as Assyrians, come together in the body of Christ. At church, encourage one another. Pray for our Assyrian nation. The fast, the rogation of the Ninevites is approaching. And I tell you, those who wrap the flags around them won't be at church kneeling before the Lord and beseeching the Lord to protect Assyria and to bless Assyria. And if it is his will and only his will that Assyria may return, not my own wisdom and understanding and my philosophy. No. The will of God, our Creator, to sharpen as iron sharpens one another. We deter ourselves. We are missing out of all these blessings when we come to church. And this hasn't even scratched the surface, beloved. I haven't even discussed missing out on confession, forgiveness, absolving of sin. Celebrating and honoring Jesus by commemorating his life, his ministry, his suffering, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. I haven't even spoken about that. It is true that in verse 10, the psalmist writes, one day in your court or your church is better than 10,000. I have desired to dwell in the house of God more than to dwell in the tent of the wicked. Beloved, this is what we miss out on. We miss out on the blessings that God has provided graciously for his people and in particular for his children through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise and glory be to his holy name now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.